Hello, Polytopians. Thanks for tuning into the Polytopian Times. I'm your host, Sam, and today we are joined by Eastbark and Liz Royce.
Hi, Sam. Thanks for having me.
Oh, yeah. Always good to
be here. Good to be here.
Yeah. And today, folks, we're going to be doing a quick rundown on Zabasi. Not going to be the longest episode in the world necessarily, but I think we are going to all get some enjoyment out of it. So, without any further ado, let's hop in. The sun beats down on the sweltering savannah of Zaboya as you continue the long trek to the Zabasi town of Mwayelazim. The chartreuse grass sways in the breeze around you with a soft rustle. Acacia trees dot the landscape. They're tall with long trunks, branching at the top into a wide canopy. You hear birds chirping from the branches of the scattered trees, their song brought to you on the wind. In the distance, you spot the occasional mountain on the other side of Lake Mozimwa, eroded blue-gray stone jutting out of the savannah, with clear rock toward the peak, but overgrown with an expansive flora on the lower slopes of each. In the nearest cluster of trees, you spot a tall figure grazing. It's a Mbasana Girazi, more commonly called a giraffe, one of the tallest land animals on the square. Giraffes were the first of many animals to be cataloged by Zabasi scholars in the Zuzana Yaya, the square's largest compendium of flora and fauna, written just 300 years after the Civil War of the Ancients. They're extremely tall, willowy creatures covered in mottled spots, with long necks for grazing from the treetops. They take great pride in their abnormally long necks and have a tendency to idly swing their heads around when bored. This can cause unfortunate accidents when inattentive Zabasi get thumped by their mount's roving neck. On the ground near the giraffe, you spot a huge melon growing. It's a waungi, a delicious melon with succulent orange flesh and a robust, refreshing juice that the Zabasi enjoy drinking cooled. The fruit can grow to massive sizes, with some waungis large enough to provide shelter for small Zabasi families after being hollowed out for juice. Speaking of Zabasi shelters, across the savanna to the east you spot round, tan clay huts surrounded by farms, with either yellow thatched or flat clay roofs. It's Mwayelazim, where a rich melon magnate waited to discuss a deal that could provide enough juice to keep your company's sailors scurvy-free on their increasingly long trading excursions. The Zabasi are practical folk, using their knowledge to adapt their lifestyle to the land and to modify the land to better suit their lifestyle. This can be seen no better than in the giant windmills the Zabasi have erected across the savannas near their cities, hubs for the sprawling farms surrounding them. The wind provides sufficient power for water to be continuously pumped out of Lake Mzimwa into the many irrigation canals dotting the fields. Waungi, Uzu, and Zanula sprout up across the fields, alongside other more niche crops. Zaboya is the breadbasket of the square, and the Zabasi spend their days working the farm so that breadbasket could stay full. As you walk into the town, you're struck by the grandeur shown with such simple construction materials. The townsfolk you see around you seem jovial, chattering and working and trading. Some of the buildings near you have balconies where Zabasi are busy discussing the latest science over fresh glasses of juice, notes and drawings on horticulture, biology, zoology, and botany plastered on the walls behind them for examination or rumination. In the market, you can see a few stalls selling Liyun pelt helmets. Behind some of those were Zabasi busily sewing up new helmets, weaving fabrications of the pelts to use for the construction. Liyuns, a common sight in Kiku lands, were once native to the Zabasi savanna before the Zabasi hunted them to near extinction for their pelts. Most modern Zabasi have never seen a Liyun, so they use their textile skills, which are quite considerable, to manufacture replicas to honor their ancestors. That isn't the only use of their craft, though, as you well know. Their stunning carpets and durable tusi pouches are some of the most desired goods in your trading network, alongside those exquisite helmets. It isn't long before you find the Zimzu Inn, where your accommodations are, and as you order a nice cold glass of waungi juice, you run through your pitch in your head one more time. And that is a quick little taste of some Zabasi lore.
Yay, lore! The oddest thing I find about the lore is that the headdresses that they wear are actually the Kiku animal, but
yes.
they've hunted all the Kiku animal, the Liyun, to extinction. So now they make fake Liyun headdresses. I find that so, that's like of all the lore of Polytopia, I find that so fascinating.
Yeah, that was definitely a call in there. And I wonder if it has to do with the overall general theme of the Zabasi, maybe almost a shadow call towards maybe modern day humans.
Yeah, but that's canon. That's straight from the official lore.
Yes.
It's It's interesting. Of all the official lore, I don't know. I like that. It's a, I don't know, kind of poetic, ironic tale on extinction and overhunting or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, no, it really is. You're not wrong there. And it's even funner that they do still exist in the game. You know, it's not like just skeletal. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so we're going to talk about how to play Zabossi.
Yeah, I mean, I guess before we hop right into that, and I'll give you the reins then, let's take a brief look at their starting tech, their resources, and terrain. We always do that.
Yep.
So,
let me guess. Let me guess. What's really good about Zabossi? I know, fishing, right?
Oh, yes, yeah. They've got a wonderful, yeah, tears, but no. So, let's start off with something different. How about what they kind of suck at, surprisingly?
Okay, what are they bad at?
So,
besides fishing?
Besides fishing, which, I mean, yeah.
So don't get them for fishing. No,
you'll have a bad time. They have half the mountain spawn rate, half the forest spawn rate. So, I mean, yeah, you get a lot of fields in your stuff, right? That's good. But what else means you won't have metals and forges? So swordsmen aren't going to make much sense at really any point in the game, unless you're forced that way. And you're not going for sawmills, you're not going for archers, you're not going for catapults. If you're on a drylands map, you have less incentive to go towards range stuff because it's going to cost you more than it would other people with less return. I mean, so that's stuff they're not actually that great at. Also, so yes, you're not wrong. Lots of farms. They do get double the farm spawn.
Wait, I'm shocked. Zabossi have a lot of farm spawns?
Seems like the only thing they do have.
I know, right? That's what they got going for them. Lots of farms.
I mean, yeah, but yeah, shocked Pikachu face for real. Yeah. No, you know what? My shocked Pikachu face was like a legitimate one. They have the fruit spawn rate. Like, do you have to kick them in the teeth any harder?
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, farms, just, you know, go farms and then that'll hopefully you reap. What is it? You reap what you sow?
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah. Unironically, actually, I think fish are their second best tier one resource.
Oh, hey.
Because
okay.
They don't have a nerf on how many can spawn.
Oh. So they just have the base rate, which is decent.
Better than nothing. Yep. If you give me half of that. Yeah. That's how bad it can be, folks. And I mean, they're turn zero tribe. So this is why, if you're ever wondering, why is a turn zero tribe with the best tech to start with in terms of economic growth? Actually, the weakest of the four, and that's because it's terrain, man, and that's why birders are the best. They get really good terrain that feeds into themselves a lot.
Yeah. And you have to pay 5 to get a farm instead of, you know, other T0 tribes only cost 4, which, you know, okay, maybe it's only 1 star, but in the early game that adds up.
Yeah, it really does. It really does. And I mean, that it hurts you so hard. I mean, yeah, you think about the perks at the high level. So, yeah, you got farms. That's great for economic growth because that's the only thing you have. And at least that's a reliable way to get some giants, maybe if you have plenty of them. The other upside is sort of like Umaji. Everything's wide open. There's nothing in your way. So your riders off the bat can actually get the full 2 movement. They aren't just stopped to 1 like warriors, I guess. It's not going to last long before roads exist, and it doesn't really, it's not the most impactful thing. So, but that's a thing that they have. So that's a perk.
I mean, it is still a T0 tribe. You can get a workshop right away. So compared to some other tribes like Imo or Hudrick, I would say, you know, Zabossi is better than those. But it's, of all the T0 tribes, it's the weakest.
Yeah, that's that hurts. But it doesn't hurt him the most. Yeah, I guess the other thing, as far as drawbacks go, we already talked about how it's super expensive to level them up. They're the most expensive turn zero. They're the weakest turn zero. And one other thing to keep in mind here is that they also are the worst at defense out of the turn zeros, because all the stuff that would give them defense bonuses, they have half the spawn rate of. So they just are going to always be at default.
Right. So mountains and forests don't get in the way of them trying to expand. But at the same time, it also doesn't block other opponents from coming towards them. Yeah. To give and take. Trade-off.
Quite. And if that fight does come into your lands, you know, it's, yeah. And you're better off trying to keep it away from your territory. Well, that's enough of me prattling on about terrain and stuff. Let's let you actually take the lead on some strategy here.
Yeah, I mean, the strategy for Zabassi is, right, the same like anything else in Polytopia, right? Forward settling, don't get a tech unless you need it. And don't, okay, this is key though for Zabassi. Don't get org. Usually yeah. It is not worth it to go quote unquote backwards in the tech tree. There's not a lot of fruit. Just don't do that. Really the main thing, again, with most tribes, but especially with Zabassi, is go for giants. And that first giant is key. Gives you the monument, right? Park of Fortune. But sometimes you can get some really sweet farm setups. And if you go with riding and roads, then the roads, you know, the trick is, right, you can get two farms in a city and connect with a road, and then you upgrade, get 5 stars back. So that's very common.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. So you, it's going to be some of the only ways you can really get it going. You got farms, you got roads, and you got some monuments that you can grind out early on if you use your farms and roads to complement you. And I guess windmills, everything else is
sometimes
not going to work out.
I mean, it's a late game tech, right? So if it's a really big map and you've been playing a lot of turns, then yeah, sometimes windmills are worth it. But usually the games I play don't get that far along, or either I resign because I know I'm not going to win, or I win before I get to windmills. But sometimes it can be helpful, but I usually don't play a game that long to see it's useful. Yeah,
it's kind of weird, but yeah, in the modern day meta, I do find even though the games seem to last longer because Chop Rush doesn't speed them along, somehow the development doesn't seem to get quite as far along to like giant spam anymore. Like it just feels like you get rider spammed or cloak rushed out of existence too quick.
Yeah, I think riding, roads, farms, sometimes you will get hunting and forestry. Every now and then you'll get a map with a, you know, a fair number of animals and forests, and it's worth it if only to chop.
Yeah,
but most maps you don't see that.
Yeah, and I mean, it's really up to you at the end of the day. When you're thinking about whether or not to chop is a bossy, yeah, those lumber hut's not gonna give you a whole bunch, but if you get an extra giant out of it, then get the extra giant's worth it more than the extra star, that's for sure.
Yeah, you know, and in as every situation in Polytopia, these are just generalizations. It always depends on the map, depends on how many people you're playing against. So yeah, but I mean, I like Zabassi. I actually say it's, you know, of all the tribes, if I had to choose, like I like it. It's pretty good. You know, and if again, if you're doing a mirror match, Zabassi versus Zabassi, that can be really fun.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you want to play a nice mid-tier tribe and not feel like you're OP when you win, you know, Zabassi is a good pick because, you know, yeah, they're certainly not OP. I guess we talk about counters really quick, briefly. It's not really much to talk about either way around. They're pretty general. You're going to forward settle them like normal. You're going to try and harass them with your riders early on. You're going to try and interfere with their economy. Even if you can't take a city, you can park a warrior or a rider in there one turn, deny them 3 or 5 stars, you know, then it's worth it. It's more than the cost of the rider or the warrior. And it stops them producing something there. But yeah. And then, not too much to say as far as why, I guess, reasons to play this tribe. Like you said, you get the advanced economic tech to start off without feeling super OP. As if you have an Emoji teammate, you synergize insanely well, surprisingly. Yeah.
Riders and roads. Mm-hmm.
And farms. You both have double the farms spawn.
That's
right?
True. Emoji has a lot of farms. So if you are teaming up with them, that's a good synergy. Yep. Good point.
Yep, that's one of the only ones they're going to have. Unfortunately, it doesn't go both ways. In fact, I think it hurts both once you go back to the tier one, because, you know, Umaji's not going to want to expand your terrain that doesn't have any fruit, and you're not going to be able, like, you'd have to go get a whole nother tech that doesn't have value to you for the most part to expand there. Yeah. So yeah, that, folks, wraps up our Zabasi episode here. Again, not a super duper long one. Thanks as always for hopping on, eSpark. You got any plugs you want to plug?
Yeah, there's a couple newsworthy comments to make. So the first is Mijiwan is officially sponsoring the annual tribe duels. These happen most years in the Poly Main, the official Polytopia Discord server. There's some really big prizes this year. Have you seen the prizes?
No, please do tell.
Well, they're raffling off. Usually they give away 50 Steam keys. That's pretty normal. They are so loose with their Steam keys. But the cool prize, okay, so the best, one of the honorable prizes is for the server. The tribe that wins gets the best tribe command, which is kind of a way to flex. But for individuals, they're raffling off, I think it's over $140 worth of Nitro prizes. So there's like 1 year of Nitro getting raffled off. I think there's 3 months of Nitro, and then there's a 1 month Nitro prize. So, but the way it works is this is a series of glory matches, right? 1v1. Best two out of three, and you have to play as the tribe you're representing. So Sam, if you're gonna play in the tribe duels, what tribe would you play for?
Let me
guess. Oh, I was gonna say Psymanzy.
I have the most fun with them. They're asymmetric, unlike, I think, more than any other of the special tribes, because like all the other special tribes do have their unique things, but like especially Quarian and Illyrian, they're much more similar to like the standard tribes. They get just special units. Polaris, they freeze stuff. That is, they do have different mechanics and does feel different, but still, most of your units for the most part just use ice better. But they're still knights, they're still swords, they're still catapults supporting your, you know, battle sleds and gommies and stuff. But like Psymanzy, the only thing that's basically the same is that you are throwing out swordsmen and warriors.
So Psymanzy is, I knew you were going to say Psymanzy. I've seen you in that tribe before. What if I told you that Psymanzy is paired up against Bardur?
Yeah, I think Psymanzy has a decent chance. It really depends on what happens. I think Psymanzy is surprisingly weak to early cloak spams. A lot of their units are very vulnerable, and if you can't produce your Phyches or your Hexapods, because they'll get one shot, and if a cloak shows up, that's it. You're down to what, warriors or chitons? Chitons are okay, but, and they can do counter spam with their cloaks. And in fact, Psymanzy has the best cloaks in the game because they can boost their cloaks.
Oh, it, that's true. You can
industrial
boost your
boosting. You put up a shaman outside of each and every city. You put out 8 cloaks in one turn. You boost each and every single one
super
of them.
Super duper boosted cloaks. That's right.
And
so always, right now, Psymanzy is tied with Bardur in their bracket. They each have 2 wins.
Well, very nice.
Anyway,
very
so each bracket lasts for 3 weeks, and then the winner advances to the end until there's the final. So if folks want to join the tribe duels, they're welcome to hop into the Poly Main, that's the official Discord server, and represent their tribe.
Yeah, definitely go check it out.
The only other thing, it's not really a plug, but more of a heads up. Have you heard of the 10K bug, Sam?
No, please do enlighten me as well.
So, I don't know if you remember, two, 3 weeks ago, there was an update that added glory point thresholds. Did you see that?
Yeah, they changed things up, tried to expand on it a little bit.
So, it used to be glory was just the first player to 10K score points was the winner in the glory mode, but they added different thresholds. So I think there's like 5K, 10K, maybe 15 and 25. I don't remember. Honestly.
I believe you are correct.
So there's, you can choose, right?
Yeah.
So when they made that change, something also, there was a bug, it affects the might game. So now it's hard to predict, but very often might games will end when a player reaches 10,000 points in their score. People keep popping up saying, oh my gosh, what happened? My mic game just ended. And it's like, oh yeah, did you see? It got to 10K. Oh no.
Yeah, so surprise, you might have won on different merits than you thought you would.
Yeah, there is a workaround. One hint is before you start your mic game, go into the glory settings and put the setting at 25k. And then switch back to might. And that seems to help, because even if you reach, you're not going to reach 25k in your might usually. So that seems to be a workaround. The devs are aware. The developers know it's a bug. They are actively working on it, but they have not fixed it yet. So beware the 10k bug.
Oh, that's almost sounds spooky. Beware the 10k, folks. Don't let the bug get you.
But there is a workaround, as we think.
Yes, yeah. So, fingers crossed, just move everything to 25,000 if you don't want to be bit by the bug. Well, cool. Any other? I think that wraps up our plugs, folks. I'm getting that gist here, so.
Yeah, I think we're good. Thanks so much, Sam. This was fun.
Always good having you on, and, until next time, folks. See ya.